We've been talking about a series called It Rooted. It's all about the spiritual disciplines, and I've talked about the roots growing deeper, and I've said it every week. I'll say it again, why not? As the roots grow deeper, and when the wind and the trials of life come and they blow against the tree, if your roots are deep down, the tree won't be blown over. And so it's all about having disciplines in your faith that help you grow in Christ. So it's not just this tree that looks really nice on the outside, but there's some foundation there that will ground you for when the trials and tribulations of life come along. I've said this, the disciplines are merely a way for us to put ourselves before God and allow Him to work in our lives to change us to be more like Him. The disciplines don't earn us anything. They're not our way to get to salvation, nothing like that. The disciplines are merely a way for us to put ourselves in front of God and then for Him to work in our lives. Our theme verse is this, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Last week, I talked about the discipline of solitude. Were you able to find any solitude time? Jack was talking about peace, and where does he go to find peace and quiet? Goes out into a field and just kind of walks around and looks at God's creation and those kinds of things. Were you able to do that at all this week? I had a hard time this week. There's always stuff going on, and sometimes I have a video, Jeremy, just so that you're prepared, there's going to be sound on a video. Sometimes my week looks something like this. I was going to say, I thought about spinning plates this morning, but I figured the ladies might get mad at me when I broke all their plates. But how many of you, maybe your life felt like that this week? You were just spinning the plates, and you were just trying to keep them all going, and kids needed to go here, and this needed to happen, and you were working, and this was going on, and this person I needed this, and then you got a phone call, and there's just so many things in our lives sometimes that are just constant pressures, and we feel that. We start one thing, and then we start the next thing, and then we start the next thing, and pretty soon we look and every plate is spinning possible and we're just running like a chicken with our heads cut off because we just can't keep them all going. This morning we're going to talk about the opposite of that. We're going to talk about rest. More specifically, the Bible talks about the Sabbath, a holy day set apart by God, Sabbath rest. The problem is when you think about rest, maybe you're like me, if you think about resting, you know when you rest, if your life looks like this scenario, what's going to happen? Crash. All the plates are going to fall down, right? If you stop, all the plates are going to fall down. Or the project you've got going at work, or the things that are supposed to happen, those aren't going to happen the way they're supposed to. So it's hard sometimes to rest, and you begin to lose control, and pretty soon your week looks like this, and it goes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Maybe Friday you get off work and you have a little bit of free time. Who knows? Maybe you end up going home and you have a whole different set of plates that you start spinning on Friday night, and then Saturday, and then Sunday, and pretty soon maybe you get a nap Sunday afternoon, or maybe you get a nap right now, who knows? maybe you get a nap Sunday afternoon and maybe you finally get an hour of rest. But then you wake up and you're preparing for the next day, the next things to come, and you're making sure the laundry's done and the clothes are ready and the dishes are washed and all of this stuff. And then soon you look back and it's been 1 week and 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks. And I think sometimes as a church, you guys have a lot of involvement here too, and so there's plates you spin here, especially this time of year with the auction coming up. There's a lot of things happening, and so there's more plates we're starting to spin. And we say, what? When did I have time to rest? I try to keep track of hours and when I'm doing things and those kind of things, and there are weeks I look back and go, okay, I really haven't had a day off. like an actual full day off. Not just from here, but we're always doing stuff as a family. There's appointments you got to go to, and there's grocery shopping you have to do, and there's things that just you have to get done. And so as us as a family, we have to say, well, when did we last kind of take a break and just all get a chance to rest together? When did that look like? So it's a challenge. Rest is a challenge. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "I will give you rest." Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said, "Come to me and I will give you rest." What was Jesus talking about there? We'll unpack some of that today. How do we get there? In a world of 24-hour gas stations, 24-hour grocery stores that are maybe closed on Christmas, you get one day of rest a year, and that's Christmas. In a world that's constantly moving, it's interesting, I sit in my office, and a lot of times there's not many people here at the church. And so I hear noises from the road and stuff outside. A couple times this week I noticed people pulling off of the road out here onto 19, and it was, "Wah!" as fast as they could. And you see the smoke going behind them. In a world that's that kind of speed, maybe you stop for a split second just to look both ways and not crash into something, and then you take off as fast as you can again. In that type of a world, how do we achieve? How do we get to this kind of rest? Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and my burden is light." I want to talk to you about a few characteristics of rest. We're going to go through several passages in the Bible. The first one's in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Where did this idea of rest come from? And I think many of you probably know this, but I think we can always use a review on things sometimes. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." Genesis chapter 1, God creates everything in 7 days. "Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them," verse 2 of chapter 2, "and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." If you notice in there, it says God finished the work he had done. God rested from the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day because God rested from the work he had done. God commanded Adam and Eve. We know biblically God commanded Adam and Eve to fill the earth and subdue it. God commanded them to work. God worked. Genesis chapter 1 is all about God's work and what he did in creation. Then he commands Adam and Eve, "I'm commanding you guys to take over creation and fill the earth and subdue it. Be over creation. Rule over what I'm giving to you." And he specifies, "I'm giving you the plants and the animals and all of these things." Work was not a part of the fall. Sometimes we think, "Oh man, I have to do all this work," and work was made harder because of the fall. But work was not part of the fall of sin. Work was a part of creation. Work was given to us by God. It was given to us to do things, but God also gave us a rhythm to rest. Rest has a rhythm. God created in 6 days, and it says on the seventh day he rested. God could have created 6 days and then just said, "Okay, you guys get off and running. Just go. I've commanded you to do some stuff. Just go and do your stuff." We could have a six-day week that we work 6 days in our week. But that's not how God designed it. God gave us a rhythm. And he said, I'm going to create in 6 days, and on the seventh day, I'm going to rest. What did God create on the sixth day? He created Adam and Eve as part of his creation on the sixth day. And so we come to the seventh day, Adam and Eve's first day of being alive. And what is God doing? He's resting on the seventh day. So the first day of Adam and Eve being alive, being created, being creation with their creator, they're having fellowship with him because he's resting and he's enjoying his creation. Well, so how do you say that, Roger? How do you get there? Well, I see God throughout Genesis chapter 1 every day. If you flip a page back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, you can pick out, and God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good, verse 12. Verse 18, and God saw it was good. Verse 25, and God saw it was good. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. I don't think I grabbed all of those there, but seven times God says it is good, or it is very good, this creation. Every day God was taking a break. Every day God was looking at his creation and saying, wow, what I've done, the work I've done today was good. The things I've completed today, that was good. God is looking over. And so he creates this rhythm. It's a ratio of 6 to 1. He gives us this ratio of 6 days you are to work, and then one day you are to rest. I think that even can pass into our day-to-day routine, that we should be spending at least some time during the day resting. That's not just sleep. It includes sleep. But we need time to do some things. And we'll talk about some of those this morning. Not work. Because if you're resting and you're working, that's not really rest, is it? And so God was helping us develop a much needed time in our life to have this rhythm in it. God created other things with rhythm. The seasons we experience, I think, are a rhythm. And I don't think those are necessarily a part of the curse either. I think we were going to have seasons, whether there was the fall or not. I think the fall probably skewed those a little bit. But I think seasons, we were designed to have different seasons. Our heartbeat. Many of you weren't even thinking about your heart until I just said that. Your heartbeat has a rhythm. Some of you are more concerned about your heartbeat rhythm than others because you've experienced things in the past. And when your heartbeat gets out of rhythm, if it's going too fast or too slow for too long of a time, what's going to happen? Something bad, probably. You could have a stroke, or you could have a heart attack, or there's all sorts of things that could happen because your heart gets out of rhythm. The same thing happens when our rest gets out of rhythm. If your rest is out of rhythm, it's going to cause problems in your life. If you keep pushing yourself to spin those plates constantly, day in and day out, and you don't align yourself with some form of natural rhythm, because God has created you for rest, you will soon find yourself not being able to do anything but rest. I talked to you last week about how even days of solitude, days of rest, if you're not giving yourself those, soon, like I told you, you start to get a scratchy throat, start to not feel good, something happens, you start to get sick, and then all of a sudden, what are you stuck with doing? Sitting in bed, resting. Why? Because God designed us for these natural rhythms of rest. Natural rhythms of rest. Let's read on this morning. We're going over to the book of Exodus. Next book over, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. God is laying out the Ten Commandments for the nation of Israel. You're all pretty familiar probably with the Ten Commandments, but when he gets to talking about the Sabbath, he says this, Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is with you in your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." We rest because rest was commanded. Rest was commanded. God commanded this nation, to, as they came out of the nation of Israel, that they needed to rest. I don't know how many of you have thought about this, but the nation of Israel, what were they doing in Egypt? They were working. They'd been being driven as slaves for years. Exodus chapter 1 said this, "So they ruthlessly," they being the pharaohs and the people, the leaders of Egypt, "so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves." How'd you like that as your epitaph? Your ending of life. You were just made to work as a slave. Do you realize that all the gods of Egypt, little g gods, they had many. That's all that they thought their gods did. Many believe that the pharaohs were gods as well. And they just commanded people to work. That was it. And so the pharaohs just made the people work with this hard service, day in, day out, 7 days a week. For 400 and some years, the people had to work. No breaks. Work. Moses comes along. What happens when Moses comes along? He says, "Free my people." This is the message God is sending. "Free my people." And Pharaoh says, "Okay, I'll make the work harder. No longer will we supply the straw for the bricks." They have to go get it themselves. Now they have even harder work to do, and they expect to have the same quotient of bricks put out every day. So they were working. They come out of this slavery, and God says, he commands them, "You need to rest." Whew. Really? What's that? What's this rest thing you're talking about? What is this Sabbath? How do we do that? I don't know. Why? Because my people have been working for 400 years nonstop, day in and day out. I don't know if you've ever had an unexpected time off, where maybe you were planning to do something, you had a meeting, or you had something you were supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden, maybe last second, you get a phone call, that meeting's off. Or you get a text message, "Oh, I can't meet you today," and that was going to be your whole day. Now all of a sudden you're free, and you keep looking at your watch, like, "I feel like I'm supposed to be somewhere. I feel like there's something I'm supposed to be doing. I feel like I'm missing something." I can't help to think that that might be how the Israelites felt. They'd been working day in and day out for 7 days a week, constantly, and all of a sudden God says, "You're going to work 6 days, but on the seventh day you're going to rest." On that seventh day, they'd be like, "Okay, now what happens? Now what do we do? Aren't we supposed to be doing something right now?" And eventually they had to get themselves back into the rhythm. I think that's how we as a culture are sometimes too. We just get caught up in the culture. We get caught up in the busyness. We get caught up in the speeding and following everybody else driving down the road at their speed. And we forget that God has called us to be set apart and holy. We forget that God has called us and he designed us to have times of rest as well. Another passage, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 5 says this. It's actually the same remembering of Exodus chapter 20 if you read beforehand. We're only going to read one of the verses. But verse 12 says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy." So he's talking about the Sabbath. It's all about the commands again. But God spells out a little bit differently this time. He says, verse 15, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." I believe resting helps us remember. Resting gives us time to be able to sit and think about the things God has been doing in our lives. It gives us time to remember who God is and how he's changed our lives as well. If we don't remember why we rest, we're not going to remember to rest. I'm a forgetful person. I saw a guy the other day. I was walking along, and I don't remember where I was at. I mentioned Stacy afterwards, but again, I don't remember where we were at. But he had a t-shirt on, and it said, "I know I walked into this room for something." I do that sometimes. You walk into a room and you say, "Oh no, Roger, you're young." No, sometimes I walk into a room and with the busyness of life going on, you walk into the room and go, "Okay, why did I come in this room? What was there here?" We need to remember why we need to rest. And we rest because resting helps us remember. I read a book this week. It was called The Art of Rest, and one of the quotes from it was this: "God gave us regular weekly times to stop in order to know, because we're bound to forget, because we're sometimes forgetful, that it is God who is God and not us." That it is God who is God and not us. Resting gives us a time to remember, and I don't know if you have family reunions at all in your family, or times when your family gets together, maybe it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, one of those times, and what happens? You all get together and you say, maybe you haven't seen them for a while, "Remember when? Do you remember last year when this? Do you remember this happened?" And you begin to remember. And sometimes it's, "Hey, what's been going on in your life this year?" And you begin to remember the events that happened over your last year, and you begin to talk about those with family. Rest gives us time to do that. Rest gives us time to remember that it's not me who is God, but it's God who is God, and he is the one in control. Our final passage is Luke chapter 6. So resting gives us time to remember these accomplishments that have been achieved, and it allows us to remember the one who has allowed us to achieve those things. Help us not only look and remember the events, but remember God as the author and sustainer of life as well. Luke chapter 6. What does Jesus say about the Sabbath and rest? Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. "On a Sabbath," Luke 6, 1, "On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them together in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?' And Jesus answered them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him?' And Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" The Son of Man, that's Jesus' term for himself. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And so resting found fulfillment in Jesus. Resting found fulfillment in Jesus. The Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of the day. They had a lot of influence because the Jewish people were highly religious. They had made up lots of laws. 39 of those were based on the Sabbath. They had made up 39 laws about the Sabbath and how to keep the Sabbath and to do it properly. So one of those was that they shouldn't be removing grain in the Sabbath. And so they're plucking grain and they're using their hands to get the grain out. And they're eating that because they're hungry. They weren't doing anything wrong in that, but they were doing it on the Sabbath. And see, so that action on the Sabbath was religiously wrong. And so the Pharisees are like, why? You're supposed to be these guys, this group of 12. You're supposed to be their leader, and you're allowing them to do something sinful. It's on you, Jesus, because you're their leader. You need to tell them that they need to repent and go kill an animal and take care of that. But what does Jesus do? He says, remember David, your leader, the king that all of you look up to? Remember him? What did he do? He broke some laws too. But these laws are man-made laws. And so Jesus says, he is the Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. I got thinking about this. What were the disciples really doing? They were fellowshipping with Jesus on the Sabbath. Which is better, obeying a rule that's just there to obey, or having fellowship time with Jesus? They were walking along, having a meal with Jesus, walking through this field, and the Pharisees missed it. The Pharisees said, you're not keeping the rules. And Jesus said, but the rule is to be with me. The rule is this rest would bring you to remember who you are in me. Remember that I created you and I created all of this, and be thankful for the food that you're eating. Just rest is to help you remember. The Pharisees said, no, but they're not obeying the rule. One more quote, it said this: embracing a rhythm of rest means seeing God as sufficient and letting go of your own claim to that attribute. I think sometimes in life, we don't rest because we're afraid the plates are going to start falling. We want complete control over everything in our life, and we know that if we rest, what's going to happen? The plates are going to come down. They're going to come crashing down, and we don't trust God. We don't trust God fully because, oh man, I need to go do that. I need to spin this plate over here. I don't know how he was doing those little plates, and I'm spinning them like that. We just don't trust God enough. We don't let go of our own claim of being God. And so that's part of what rest is that we need to let God have full control of our life. Even if you only rest when you want to, what are you doing? Taking control of that too. I can only rest at this These 5 minutes, that's what I'm going to give you. I got 5 minutes. I have a 15-minute break. Whatever it is, I'm going to have complete control even of my rest. What are you doing? You're not letting God have control of something that he commanded us that we needed to be doing. Embracing this rhythm of rest. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. God designed the Sabbath for man so that we could rest and have a chance to remember who God was and what he has done. And Jesus fulfilled that so that we could have true rest in him. That true rest can only happen if we trust Jesus completely with our time, with our work, with our weeks, and with all of our lives. You see, restful peace is the inheritance of those who trust in Jesus. Restful peace is the inheritance of those who trust in Jesus. Jesus said, started with these verses, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's okay to stop spinning some of those plates. It's okay to take a break and sit down and remember. Realize who God is and what he has done for you. Because God has set up this natural rhythm of rest to help us experience who he is and what he has done. I'll close with this. Ask this question: what changes do I need to make to my life to include a regular period of rest? What does that look like on a daily basis? What does that look like on a weekly basis? How do I do that? I'm not telling you how you need to rest. today, because I think that does look different for all of us. Some of us can go off of 4 hours of sleep a night. I am not one of those people. I get grumpy if I don't get a little bit more than 4 hours of sleep a night. So we need rest. God designed us that way. But some of you can live off of a few hours of sleep at night, and then you're up and you're ready to go every day. So what does having a regular period of rest look like? And can you trust God enough to listen to him and follow that? Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your love. God, help us as we go through our busy, chaotic daily lives to be able to find our rest in you. God, help us to make it a priority so that we can remember who you are, remember what you've done in our lives. Help us to establish that regular rhythm of rest so that we can come and have fellowship and commune with you. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.